Welcome to this episode of Street Soldiers and the Cowboy Culture Craze. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. The wild success of Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter album has put a spotlight on cowboy culture. It's not just in the music. We're seeing it in fashion. We're seeing it in TV shows. We're seeing it on streaming platforms. It seems to be taking over America in places that in the past might not have shown much interest. So we're going to be talking about in this episode the music itself, country's relationship to hip-hop and R&B. Is there really one? Have there been crossover artists before? And the impact that Beyoncé's success as a Black country artist is having on other artists of color who may not have gotten the recognition or the opportunities that they feel they deserve, or even the chance to be in front of different and diverse audiences. So got a lot to cover in this episode of Street Soldiers. We're going to get with it right now. Joining us is Rob Markman. He's a veteran hip-hop journalist. You can find him on YouTube and Instagram under his name, Rob Markman, doing a lot of reports. He's been covering hip-hop and the music scene and the culture for a long time. Rob, great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Also with us is Asia Grace. She's a lifestyle reporter for the New York Post. She covers fashion. She covers lifestyle trends. She covers everything having to do with our culture as we experience it on a daily basis. Asia, great to have you with us again.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thank you. And also joining us from, I think, Nashville, Tennessee, is Cowboy Calvin. He is a country music artist. His real name is Imaijah Calvin. You can see him on Instagram as Cowboy Calvin USA. And Imaijah, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Honored to be here.
We appreciate it. Asia, I want to start with you on this. I mean, cowboy boots have been in and out of trends for a while, but it seems that what we're seeing now is on a different level.
Absolutely. I mean, Beyoncé is literally moving the culture from boots with the fur to boots with the spurs, honey, and in a number of ways, obviously musically, obviously fashionably, and socially. You know, if who better than Beyoncé to kind of lead this move into the, you know, country chic, cowgirl couture, ride 'em radiance that we're kind of leaning into, pop culture, fashion. We always want the next biggest, best thing, and she's the biggest and best star we have, so she should be the leader that's corralling us into this new wave of life.
And leading the way. Rob, what was your first reaction when you heard that she was doing this country album?
Well, it's Beyoncé, so you know anything that she does with intention, aside from her singing talent, her dancing talent, just fashion, how she's able to present. What I love the most about Beyoncé is her intention, so nothing is by accident. And so I was intrigued when I heard that she was doing it. I'm not a country fan, admittedly. I come from Brooklyn, New York. I never really felt like country was for me. But I think Beyoncé is opening doors for fans like me to be like, hey, first of all, this is Black music at its core. Still, even though we feel shut out, this is Black music at its core. And let me show you. And I love the when she said on her Instagram 10 days before the album came out, she said, this isn't a country album. This is a Beyoncé album. So I love how it is country, but it is absolutely a Beyoncé album, which is amazing.
No, absolutely. Cowboy Calvin, what was your reaction? You've been in this for a while now in the country music scene.
Yeah, you know, seeing like before Beyoncé, you know, you had like Lil Nas X with Old Town Road. And then also you had, was the other guy. You have Lockwell Brown with the Get Up, and you've had Darius Rucker who's been here. You got Kane Brown. So there's a lot of Black artists that have a lot of success within making a country song, but there hadn't been a Black female recently except for like Mickey Guyton. And I've been I'm like in the culture of country music all the way back to bluegrass and how it crossed over from was like country bluegrass music, and then it was called urban music when they took the Black people out of country music and put them in a different genre. So they wouldn't be on the same radio, you know, and I'll go all the way back to Charlie Pride. But Beyoncé has an amazing work ethic. And like the other guy said, she's intentional. And I knew that whatever she was doing, it was going to be about more than music. Because everything she does is about, it's always about more than just music. So I think people thought, oh, this is just a song, but they don't understand what she's doing. Because just being here, seeing the artists that she added on her songs and seeing the kind of recognition that they're getting in this town, and just seeing the publicity that's been added to their platforms, it just shows that nobody in Nashville has done that. No one in Nashville was recognizing these artists who were African American, especially the females. They weren't getting a lot of recognition in this town, and for her to put them on the platform the way she did, it just shows that she meant more. It's more than about just a song.
So within country music and within the country music culture, Cowboy Calvin, has there been a sense of separation between the African American artists and the white artists?
I know a lot of them. Darius Rucker was Hootie and the Blowfish, and a couple of years ago, he and I were having some drinks, and then he said he still has to promote his music just as hard as he did before because he's not getting a push. And country music is just different. Country music doesn't have the same hustle to me as like as urban music. Because when I first got my first record deal, I was in California, and it was with Silent Giant Entertainment. It was a Spanish hip hop label, right? And there was a group of guys there. I'm sure this DJ knows they're called the Interns. So the Interns were working there, and they record Justin Bieber and Big Sean. And then they were doing music differently. So when they heard me first doing like country with a little bit of hip hop in it, they were excited about it. And they were like, this sounds going to be big. And it took a little bit longer because I was way ahead of my time before, you know, like this whole thing, like people weren't ready for it to mix the blend of cultures in like that. So I feel like black artists, it is different because it's not so much they don't like it. They just haven't seen it before. You know, it's like a lot of things in cultures. They just take a little bit of time. But it wasn't like, you know, I've been in this game for 10 years. And I think people, when they first see you, they're surprised. But then when they hear you talk or they hear you sing and you sing the songs right and you tell a real story, they love you. Like, you know, I have 1 million followers on my social media platforms combined. And I think I have like, 300 million video views of singing and dancing and country music. So they love it. They just didn't know we existed, really.
Exactly. It's a whole new thing. And we're going to talk about, when we come back, hip-hop's relationship to country music. Has there been one at all? Stay tuned for more of Street Soldiers. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah. What up, what up, what up? This is Styles P, the Ghost, and this is Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers. Real issues, real politics, and real people. Only on Hot 97. Yeah, Ghost told you so.
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers on the cowboy culture craze. We're talking about the music. We're talking about country artists of color. Are they finally getting the recognition and the opportunities they deserve? And also the effect on just our regular hip-hop music that we all love and have been listening to for so long. Joining us for this conversation is Rob Markman. He's a veteran hip-hop journalist. You can find his commentaries and his reports on his Instagram at Rob Markman, and also his YouTube channel, which is also called Rob Markman. Also joining us is Asia Grace. She's a lifestyle reporter with the New York Post. And also joining us, Imaja, are you in Nashville right now? I think that sounds very...
Always.
All right.
Yeah, I'm in Nashville.
I just think that usually it's like, okay, we're from Brooklyn, we're from Bronx, but joining us from Nashville is Cowboy Calvin, Imaja Calvin. His Instagram is Cowboy Calvin USA, and thank you all for joining us. Rob, when you've covered music on a lot of different levels, through the news, through the lyrics, through the culture, all of these things, have there been any kind of connections between hip-hop or trap music and country in the past?
Yeah, there's been plenty. Cowboy Calvin mentioned Lil Nas X. Old Town Road was number one for 19 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's unprecedented. And there was some controversy at first that they didn't want him on the country charts. And then Billy Ray Cyrus joined him on the remix. So that was breaking down the door. But it goes back even further than that. I mean, if we go back to 1985, Rappin' Duke was a song, Da Ha, Da Ha. And for those who maybe don't know it, you know Biggie's Juicy when he says, remember Rappin' Duke? Da Ha, Da Ha. You never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. That original song was kind of a joke. You know, somebody rapping like in the style of John Wayne. In 1988, we had Kool Moe Dee with Wild Wild West. It wasn't a country song, but had a country aesthetic. You know, you go back to 2004, Nelly and Tim McGraw, Over and Over. You know, that was a big number one hit, big platinum hit. No, I think it was number three on the Billboard Hot 100, platinum hit. And that was probably the first taste of like an authentic crossover that I feel like hip-hop really seen when Nelly and Tim McGraw did it. So this has been bubbling for years. The connections have always been there. But like Cowboy Calvin said, I don't think the public was ready for the merge for what was about to happen. And now seems like the perfect time for it.
No, exactly. Yeah. Asia, in terms of the impact on style, are you seeing more of it? Like, do you really think we're seeing a real influence? Because we see people like wearing cowboy boots all over the place. There's customized ones. It's... you know.
It's all Beyonce. She's going to take things to the next level. You tell Beyonce no, all she hears is go. And, you know, just to Rob's point, to Cowboy Calvin's point, there haven't been a lot of women in this space really pushing the Black female experience as it pertains to country. I know we've seen Kay Michelle do some performances and Monica, you know, we have Mickey Guyton. We have women in the space, absolutely, but Beyonce's really like kicking down the doors as a career line stepper. She has literally the whole hood line dancing into this new way of dressing and being a vibe. And, you know, it's a part of our history that we have somewhat been erased from or segregated from. And Beyonce's not playing that. So yes, we're as a culture, expressing that, you know, takeover in our fashion. You know, the Google searches and sales for cowboy hats have gone up 400%. Cowboy hats with rhinestones, 300%. I mean, Beyonce did denim on denim shortly after her album release. She was seen in LA. So everybody's doing the denim bottoms, a denim shirt, even a denim hat, like denim on denim on denim. Like, it's going bananas. The chaps, everyone is just kind of leaning into this. We're loving the boots, the bolos, the big 10 gallons. I mean, it's a vibe.
Kim Kardashian recently on her Instagram, she was doing her skin, but then she had a cowboy hat on in her skin and her bikini.
She's on vacation and she posted, "This ain't Texas, it's Turks," and she had on this like sexy little bikini and a cowboy hat. So I'm like, okay, Kim K, we see the vibes. Like, and you know, once we make it cool, and then you know the Kardashians sanction it, the whole world takes on. So this is that is not going away.
And we even saw 50 Cent at the rodeo with people.
Yeah.
Kelvin, what about that? Imagine, what about the music? Like, tell us about your musical journey. How did you get into country music in the first place?
Well, I come from Georgia, right? So I grew up with, like, you know, coming from the country, right? And where I came from, we already country boys. You know, there's already so many Mississippi, there's so many Black guys that are already doing cowboy stuff. We've been here since the beginning, you know? And I think for me, when I got older, like 18, 19, I went to the Army. When I was in the Army, that's when I started hanging out with people who listen to country music. And then I was like, oh, and I started doing karaoke. And then somebody's like, man, you should think about doing this because that was pretty good. And so, I mean, I kind of like traveled around for a little bit. Then about 2010, I started taking it serious. I started thinking about writing music and doing certain things. And then, you know, one day I wrote a song called Cowboy Want a Dougie, and it was just for fun. You know, and I was like, cowboy want a Dougie, cowboy want to dance, jean hat, boots, and a cowboy stance. And then the next thing you know, somebody was like, let's record that. I did that. And then I played it for a security guard at Bakersfield College. He sent it to his brother, who was E-Dub, who worked for Power 106 in L.A. And then he was like, hey, we want to sign you to a record deal.
Wow. So
yeah, that's how it happened.
No, that's it. So, go ahead.
Yeah. And so we did that and they were excited, but then we learned fast that country music genre works very different than other genres. So we learned that it's a different way it moves. Like you can't come out there and just get on the radio stations like you can in other genres. Like you have to go through Nashville. Like they kind of have it. They do have gatekeepers in the genre though. So I experienced that back in 2014.
What about do you write your own music? Is that?
I write all of it.
And pardon me?
I either co-write or I write them by myself.
Do most country artists write their own music?
Yeah, a lot of country artists write their own music, but here's the funny thing. The most famous country artist singer, the king of country, George Strait, doesn't write his own songs. Jason Aldean doesn't write his own songs. So a lot of these guys who are the top dogs, and even the women too, they don't write their own songs all the time.
Rob, you're the artist also too, and the writer. What do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. You know, I think it's totally indicative of this era of artists who aren't afraid to venture into different genres. You know, for me, writing is always important. But, you know, great music is about storytelling, especially the country genre. It's about storytelling. And sometimes you might not have the pen for it, but you have the voice for it. And so you make that marriage together. You know, Beyonce doesn't write all of her songs by herself, or, you know, The Dream has a ton of writing credits on this album. And so the collaboration of it all, like, you know, I think the end product is what's important here, and the storytelling and how a song makes you feel.
Yeah.
So I'm with it.
No, absolutely. Asia, what about in terms of the women and representation of women and representation of women of color?
This is now opening a door for a number of African-American female artists in country to really like shine. I mean, thankfully, Beyonce had it so that so many people who are maybe lesser known are now getting their moment on her album. We have, you know, Tierra, we have Renee Roberts. We have so many people that are now giving the spotlight that they deserve that they wouldn't have ever had she not come up with this. And even the country great Linda Martell, like, she was one of the first. She was the first African-American woman to perform at the Grand Ole Opry in 1969. And a lot of people, if you're not a country fan, you don't know that. You don't know the history that we as a culture have in country music. So where a lot of detractors might be saying, well, this is appropriation, like if country is ours. It's not. It's ours. It's ours, too. Yeah. It's a shared history.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and there's other female artists. Like, there's to me, that I live here in Nashville. And I've been here for a long time. So the number one to me artist that's really doing it, that's the black female, is Tanner Adele. Tanner Adele is marketing herself really well. I think she has all the qualities to be a star like that. She could be like, even though Beyonce is in country music, I feel like Tanner Adele can be the Beyonce of country music. And then Raina Roberts is here, and then Brittany Spencer is here. She performed with Parker McCollum at the CMT Awards the other day. And she really did a good job of performing and owning her spotlight. You know, you have War and Treaty. They're a couple. They're a black couple. They're being nominated for the ACM Awards for the best for duo of the year, right? Then you have, Neon Union. That's another a white guy and a black guy. They're together. So there's so much happening right now as far as black people being represented in country music. And then, so that's a woman too, duo. But then who else is there? I don't know if I mentioned Recy Palmer, but Recy Palmer was kind of like, here in the early 2000s, and she was like getting some success, and she was the one who kind of started spearheading more black people, black women getting country music and more exposure. But I don't know if you guys know who Maren Morris is.
Yeah.
But Maren Morris is a country singer who 2 or 3 years ago, she went on an award show and said that why isn't there more black women in country music? So she was the one who started the whole conversation. Maren Morris went and started the conversation, and then that's what allowed Recy Palmer and all these other people to start getting there. Podcasts and all these things. So she says she asked a question first at the award show when she got an award. Why isn't there black women? They're singing on the tracks, but why aren't they here? Why aren't they being represented?
Why aren't they center stage? We're going to talk about that more when we come back on this episode of Street Soldier.
Yeah.
About the cowboy culture craze, but especially country music. Stay with us. We'll be back right after.
Yeah.
Yo, what up? This your homie Ace Hood, and this is Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers. Real issues, real poly tricks, and real people only on Hot 97.
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers on the cowboy culture craze. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. Joining me for this conversation, Rob Markman. He's a veteran journalist, a veteran hip-hop journalist. You can see his reports and his commentaries on his Instagram, at Rob Markman, and also his YouTube channel, his new channel. Got a lot of great information there. You can go right to Rob. He breaks it all down. You don't need to go to 5 different places, waste a lot of time trying to stay up on what's going on, because Rob breaks it all down. His YouTube channel is also Rob Markman. Also joining us is New York Post lifestyle reporter Asia Grace. And also joining us from Nashville is Cowboy Calvin. And thank you all for being with us there. Calvin, in terms of the music, the songs, are they almost all about love and relationships? Or, you know, the way people would say there's a couple main categories of topics covered usually in hip hop, but subjects in country music?
Yeah, most of it is about drinking, really. something that requires you to have alcohol. It's like, you're happy, we're going to drink. You're sad, you're going to drink. It's the weekend, you're going to drink. Something happens, right? Grandma died, we're going to drink a beer. Your brother died, you're going to drink. It's always whiskey. You know, that's what I've noticed. Every song is about drinking, right? And so, but it depends on why you're drinking. So that's what it is. Like, everybody's drinking. But the thing about country music is, like, when you listen to a song, okay, why are they drinking in this song? Are they drinking because they're happy? Or are they drinking because they're sad? Or drinking because they're thinking? You know, it just depends. So that's what it comes down to. Why are you drinking? And that's what it's all about.
Do you have one subtopic that you focus on more than others?
No, I try to keep it broad, because one thing I do find in country music that I find, me being a black country artist, is that, like, sometimes they'll write something like blue eyes and blonde hair and tan legs, and I'm like, well, why would you say that in a song? Why would you omit so many people? Like, I wouldn't want a woman, so I'd never write a song. And whenever I write a song, I never try to pick eye color or hair color, you know, but I wrote, you know, I do write songs that have more, that have a little more flavor to it. Like, I don't know if you heard this guy named Freddie P. Well, he wrote a song, he did a song called Girl Magic that I wrote with him. And I wrote that song, which was more about like a curves, and it's more about just praising a woman as she is, but from a country boy standpoint, you know what I'm saying? And so I wrote that song, and it was just like that any woman who listens to that song, Girl Magic, can feel like, okay, this is empowering women and saying, hey, girl, you what you do is magic for this country boy right here. Like, make, you know, so certain things in the song are like kind of cool. Like, they take reference, and it's more like it's country with a little bit of R&B flair to it, but it's one of those songs where it's just like, it's, they're not, this was different than anything that's in Nashville right now. Like, we could totally, Beyonce could totally be on this song right now.
Are you want to give us a little taste of it?
Yeah, let me find. Yeah, let me give you a little taste of it. And like I said, I wrote it with the intentions of if people wanted to hear the song.
Yeah,
sorry about that. If they, when they listen to it, when you hear it right now, you realize like, okay, this isn't like basic country. This is something like where this guy's really trying to. We, you could feel the vibe of it. And you know, other artists too, like Sam Hunt, he writes songs like that too. But here, this is called Girl Magic. This would be a little verse, of course.
Inspired by Black Girl Magic, though? Just saying. Let's give credit where credit is due. Right?
Maybe.
Maybe. It's all girl magic. You're calling it all girl.
Right.
You're right.
Girl, your touch is magic, and I gotta hang with it. If it was some tricks, girl, I can be a rabbit. I just want to let you know I can never let you go. I ain't never had nobody do me like this before. Girl, your touch is magic. Girl, I like the things we do when we get in this room. I loosen up my belt and I'm kicking off these boots. In your eyes and grabbing on your thighs, cause the way you do the thing, girl, you keep me hypnotized, cause girl, your touch is magic, and I gotta have it. If it was some tricks, girl, I can be your rabbit. I just wanna let you know.
Alright, I'm gonna leave it to you.
Go. Right?
Yes, excellent. Excellent.
Alright,
Rob, putting on your genius hat, what do you think about that?
Nah, the lyrics are amazing. I like what Cowboy Calvin is doing. I understand what you're saying. Just from a songwriting technique, the way it can appeal to all women, you know, and obviously this episode we're talking about Beyonce and Black women in country and the doors and the barriers that are being broken down and the elevation that is happening. But, you know, at the end of the day, any music, no matter who makes it, is about how does it make you feel.
Yeah,
you know, and,
yeah.
And every songwriter wants to, you want the world to sing your song. So, nah, that's dope, man. Amazing.
Yeah, and I will tell you, if you go on Instagram under Freddie P and look up this song, Girl Magic, outside of Beyonce, you won't find any other song with more Black women wearing cowboy hats. I think we have like 1,000 videos that women have made to this song.
Oh, really?
The majority of the women. Yeah, you can go on Instagram, type in Girl Magic, look up Freddie. I am Freddie P as a singer. And he's got a dope, deep voice. He's got a deep voice. So, yeah, it's about 1,000 videos that they've made. So we have over like 5 or 10 million views total for this song, Girl Magic. And it's been, without saying Black Girl Magic, Black women were able to hear the lyrics and see the artist singing the song and identify with it. So we didn't have to say Black Girl Magic. No, we just said Girl Magic, and Black women said, I feel like this song is about me.
Right.
And so they put the hats on.
They really made that whole phrase.
Yeah, they made that phrase, and that's why I wrote this.
And then everybody, as always, you know, a lot of times it's Black women leading the culture, but then, you know, it gets all girls want to have the Black girl magic, and it's cool.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote the song. No, that's why I wrote the song, because I wanted the song, I needed a way to invite Black women to country music without being so, making it so obvious or being so aggressive about it. So I said, why don't I, this guy right here has this big old fan base, a lot of women that are like very open-minded and successful women that follow him. And I'm like, well, what song can he sing to reach this audience? I'm like, well, I wrote this song called Girl Magic, and I feel like this song would be a great introduction to bring Black women into country music as listeners and audience. And it worked, and it's been very successful for him and even for myself.
No, I think that's great. Asia, what about the broadening audience here?
I mean, Cowboy Calvin is definitely inspiring me to get my fets in and my boots and do a little I want to be down. So that's the power of music, you know.
Exactly.
One good beat, a couple of good lyrics, and you want to be a part of that. And I think that we're seeing that more and more. And listen, the Wild Wild West is having its moment. I mean, even we saw it during the Barbie craze last year where everyone was in those big pink hats. And even when Beyonce went on Renaissance Tour, a lot of people were doing the disco ball big hats that she wore on her in a lot of her album cover work. So I think that we are definitely moving into an era that we're not going to quickly get out of anytime soon. And I do think that seeing that even in New York City, a lot of country vibes are now beginning to spring up. They're popping up like magnolias in Mississippi, as they say. You know, we're seeing country bars. We're seeing line dances. Even on her during her album release, there was like this big Cowboy Carter listening party in Washington Heights. So, I mean, the city is about it. We want that. And a lot of you have to remember that, you know, a lot of Black people are part of, like, their ancestors are part of that great migration that happened in the early 1900s. So country music, the South is in our roots, the soul food, the way we raise our kids, our faith practices. So we want
But what about, Robin, let me ask you, just to put on a, you know, from the news standpoint and also to put on your critic's hat as well, how much of this is about numbers? Because country music, the streams are, I think they're up there right there with hip hop, or maybe, I don't know which one is at the top now, but there's
a
huge audience.
Listen, you can't deny, and I don't think it's an insult to say, there is a business of Beyonce. Beyonce is very much about her business. Like, you know, listen, when she writes songs, when she puts out songs, it's for the world to hear. It's designed for mass consumption. Beyonce is not no underground artist, and she is not trying to be. I think she's extremely competitive. When you think about Jay-Z's Grammy speech, and that was Jay-Z saying that it wasn't Beyonce. We don't exactly know how Beyonce feels, but Jay talked about, hey, how does the artist who has the most Grammy awards never won Album of the Year? I feel like the Carters are competitive when it comes to music. So they want to win the awards. They want the streams. They want the chart positioning. They want to affect and move culture. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think part of this is about that. And it's the entertainment aspect of it. And Beyonce takes it very seriously. But what I had said at the beginning, what we talked about in the beginning, when you take that coupled with her intention, it is not just purely a money grab. It is not just purely for sales. She wants to educate. I didn't know who Linda Martell was before this album. I heard Spaghetti and I heard Yaya. And I'm like, I got to look up Linda Martell. And, you know, like Asia said, I learned the story. She's a very important figure. You know, Tanner Adele, who Cowboy Calvin mentioned, somebody had put me on the Buckle Bunny a couple of months ago. Fantastic song. I love that song. This is the first time that Tanner Adele is on the Hot 100. This is the first time that Linda Martell is on the Hot 100. Shaboozy, this is the first time that he's on the Hot 100. Willie Jones, this is the first time that he's on the Hot 100. So there's an elevation happening. So again, yes, it is for streams. Yes, Beyonce is a business. Yes, she's going to go on tour. She's going to sell those tickets. She's going to sell
more than that too. It's like it's a culture. It's part of a cultural evolution and growth, right?
Absolutely. So,
and inclusivity too.
Two things can be true. You know what I'm saying? I always live by that. Two things can be true, and both things are true.
Calvin, what about the circuit? Because it's like, you know, we have festivals. There's hip hop festivals when sometimes they have different artists that are on there that are not the regular hip hop artists. But what about, are there certain circuits? Are there different types of artists? Are there, you know, are the Black art or the African-American artists involved in, you know, in these concert tours or these concert circuits? How does that work?
Well, I think it works on like the difference between hip hop and country music is that you really have to build a fan base. And the only place you can really get your music on the radio is in Nashville. That's why we all come to Nashville. Like, you could be an LA rapper and be in LA. You could be a New York rapper or an Atlanta rapper or a Texas rapper and be and grow from there. You can't do that in country music. You have to come to Nashville unless you're Beyonce, right? But for the most part, that's why no one else has been able to do what she's done, because Nashville has such a tight grip on the industry. So if you're going to do a festival here, it doesn't matter if you're Black, white, anything, you have to build a fan base. And it's hard to build a fan base without having your music on the radio, right? And so that's the thing that I'm seeing is that, like, if you wonder why other people have made it, it's like, well, if they haven't built a fan base and then Nashville hasn't grabbed them like Kane Brown or Darius Rucker you know, or even Jimmy Allen, like all those artists have been on the radio. They've been on tours. They've done their own headlining tours, black artists. Even Mickey Guyton for a while, she was probably one of the recent black female artists that actually did a tour and was going around doing her own shows. But it's because of the radio and how they do it. They control it. So Nashville still has a lot of control on who gets to be on those tours and stuff like that.
I just say, Bob, I think that's so interesting that the radio still is such a big, a key part of launching a career like it was in hip hop back in the day.
Yeah, well, look, we always say you could be successful without radio. We've seen it. But radio builds superstars. Like that, that's something that, and it still reigns true, I think, in any genre. I think there is still something, though DSP success equals chart success now, but and it's a lot more even than it was. There is something special about having your songs play on the radio 40 times a day. When you got that hit and that level of stardom, you know, Lil Nas X, Old Town Road, he was birthed from the digital era for sure. That song is not 19 weeks number one without radio. It just isn't.
Right. And you walk into the store and you would hear it. You'd hear it on the streets. You go into any public space, you'd hear it. People would be playing it. Well, we're going to take a short break and have more with our guests when we come back on the Cowboy Culture Craze. More to come.
Hey, what up, y'all? This is Lloyd, the King of Hearts, and this is Street Soldiers with Lisa Evers. Real issues, real politics, and real people only on Hot 97. You dig?
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We're talking about the Cowboy Culture Craze, celebrating the success of Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter album, like unprecedented in a lot of ways, and also the effect that it's having and its meaning. Joining me for this conversation is veteran hip-hop journalist Rob Markman. You can find his commentaries and his reports on his Instagram at Rob Markman and also his YouTube channel at Rob Markman. Also joining us is New York Post lifestyle reporter Asia Grace, and also joining us from Street Soldiers for the first time from Nashville is Cowboy Calvin, and thank you all for being with us. Asia, in terms of the Beyoncé, the significance to society, I mean, we're talking about fashion, we're talking about the great music, we're talking about all of that, but how do you feel about the significance that this has for an African-American woman?
I think that, you know, we have to, as wonderful as the streams are concerned and the radio and the influence on fashion and all the things that are happening now, even the doors opening for other artists, that's all wonderful. But we have to remember that Beyoncé began this whole journey into country because she was shut out. Several years ago, she had a number of bad experiences. A lot of people are assuming that it was after she performed alongside the Chicks, which were formerly the Dixie Chicks. You know, she really was not welcomed at all. And even when she put out her song, Daddy's Lessons, in 2016, a lot of people in country really did not want to hear it. So this is something that is authentic to her. I mean, throughout her music, throughout her history, she's always praised the fact that she was, you know, her mother's from Louisiana, her daddy's from Alabama. She's, a Texas woman. She's from Houston. And she, this is not like Taylor Swift putting out a rap album. This is something that's in her naturally. And she wants to show that. So in addition to all that we're seeing on the outside, this is something that I believe is a heart project for Beyoncé that we're getting to be a part of. We shouldn't be critiquing it. We should be embracing it.
Yeah. I think obviously a lot of people are embracing it. Rob, how unprecedented is the success the first week? You know, for the numbers are crazy, right?
Not unprecedented. Beyoncé success is the Beyoncé effect. Like she's been here before. This is her eighth number one album. I believe this is just what Beyoncé does. And I hope that the world is set. There was a crucial point on the album with Willie Nelson that really spoke to me when he was doing one of his radio breaks. And he said, you know, sometimes you just need somebody to put you on to some ish, some really good ish that maybe you didn't know you liked. And I felt like Willie Nelson was talking to country fans to be like, hey, I'm Willie Nelson. I'm the guy. Here's Beyoncé. I'm co-signing this. I'm putting you on to something that maybe you didn't know you liked, but it's really good. And I think that's also Beyoncé telling us who didn't think that country music was for us, the same message. And I think it's bringing it together. I love it. Look, when we talk about hip hop real quick, I want to make this point. Miley Cyrus, when she came and did her Bangers album with Mike Will, we were accepting of it. When Post Malone came in and his first song was White Iverson and he played in the black hip hop music space, we were accepting of it even when he went on to do pop and kind of reject hip hop a little bit. So hip hop has been very accepting of artists coming in as well and playing in our playground. and hopefully this widens it, and we get the same respect the same way. And I think it's happening. It's a beautiful thing that's happening.
No, it really is. And just that the genre blending too, if you know, that we're seeing across it. Cowboy Calvin, musically for you, what's next on your agenda?
Well, musically, I'm getting ready to start. I'm already performing here all over Nashville. So I do the whole circuit here. So I play all the bars here in Nashville. I write my own songs. And so I think the next is just putting out an EP, which is some good, like, traditional country songs kind of, but with like a little bit of funk added to it, because that's where it really going. If you really know the lane that country music is about to go to, it's like, you know, they have this country radio seminar and they talk about the metrics of which songs are the most popular. And there's this little gap right now for country mixed with some like good funk vibes to it. You know what I'm saying? So like the Gap Band mixed with George Strait is going to be the big thing coming up, because people want to dance and have a good time, but they still want to, that's going to be the blend that people are going to see big time.
And you think that's so kind of the next, like the next big phase.
Yeah. Like when the 90s, when the West Coast hip hop was using all those funk beats, right? When they were, right? Is that, was the DJ name? The 90s, when Ice Cube and all those guys used.
You're a writer, a journalist, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Dre.
He's got a great microphone. What about
Yeah, now? Dr. Dre, they used all the P-Funk, the Parliament, the Funkadelic, the whole G-Funk era, yep.
Yeah, so the G-Funk era is about to hit into country. They just don't know how to do it because they don't have the artist that can do it yet. But that sound, like, because I do those kind of shows, and they're blowing up because people like to dance. And I was like, how do I get, people are in a dance, they want to tap their toes, they want to hear a little something else. They don't like, the old ways are like, some of these artists like Zach Bryan and all these other guys, they're going to be there doing their, what is kind of like Americana. But a lot of people that listen to multiple genres of music now, they want to hear the stories in country music, but they want to hear a little more flavor to it. So it's almost like food. They're like, I like this country music food, but it needs some more seasoning.
Right. You know? Exactly. Exactly. Would you ever collaborate with a hip hop artist or a funk artist?
Yeah, I want to. I would collaborate with pretty much anybody that's out there really doing it big. And like I said, being out here and been in this game for 10 years. And like I said, I've worked with some artists and, you know, I've seen Nelly's been working with a bunch of artists out here. So he's been really reaching out. But it's, people have to understand the history of something. If you want to build something, you got to know the foundation of it. So knowing the foundation of country music and then knowing the foundation of music in general, then you can really, knowing what the audience wants to hear. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be something that blends together well, that does it right. And
no, absolutely. And you know, it speaks to everybody, but emotions are universal, and that
exactly. And that's what it is. Like, I have a thing that says country music is for everyone. I think I sent that to you, that little flyer I made that a long time ago. Like, and the thing is that it doesn't exist on social media. No one has ever said that. No one has ever made a flyer or said something like that because they didn't think it was necessary.
So
I'm like, it absolutely,
so radical.
Right? Yeah.
Country music is for everybody. That's great. Asia, what do you think about country music? Is there something in our society that we're going through now that we need something like this?
I think that we are always craving the next thing. And we, you know, there again, we all have a little bit of South in us due to the Great Migration and some of the way our grandmothers and our aunties kind of reared us and kind of influenced us in our lives, some of our moms. So I think that, you know, it's something that's innate that Beyonce has, you know, she's turned up the volume within us. She woke it up in us, the country beast that we all kind of have in us, and we're leaning into it. We are loving the boots, the belt buckles, the, you know, the hats, you name it. There's nothing that Beyonce can do that we're not going to love anyway, but the fact that it's country, and a lot of people didn't want a country album. We didn't expect it. We didn't think we would like it, and right. Now we can't stop singing it. I mean, Jolene is like a number one in my playlist right now. I can't stop.
You can't stop living. Oh, all right. Rob, what about the future for country music, for among hip hop fans? Do you think?
Yeah, look, I think Beyonce has started a trend. I think we're going to see a lot more hip hop artists who didn't think that they could have success or cross over or be accepted in country or express themselves in that manner. I think we're going to see a lot more people experiment and try to cross over for various reasons. Just the Beyonce effect, man. Once she kind of makes something cool for the rest of us to do, you know, we follow the lead. So I think there's already been some, like I said, like I mentioned before, Cowboy Calvin mentioned Nelly, who's been doing this for years, dabbling, going back and forth. But I think we'll see a lot more for sure.
Well, we got two for you. We got like my buddy that lives here. He's like the number one artist, Morgan Wallen. He did a song with Lil Durk, and it was number one. It was called Broadway Girls. And then he was not too long ago, he was in a music video with Drake. And, you know, we went and saw Young Dolph. We went to Memphis and hang out with him that nobody knows about. Morgan Wallen loves, like, the number one country music artist right now, Morgan Wallen, loves hip-hop. And you see him, he'll see him hanging out. All these guys, they all, like, a lot of these guys in this country music genre, they listen to rap. It influences them. I watch them write music. I watch these guys write music after listening to hip-hop.
Well,
they'll go in there and do it.
Maybe 2024 Summer Jam will be the first year that there'll be country music on the stage.
I also want to shout out Jelly Roll, who's having a tremendous year.
That's my boy.
And he has roots in rap. He started as more of a hardcore rapper in 3-6 Mafia lane, kind of, and grew into this. And now he's winning his first awards and getting accolades. And so even Jelly Roll. So it's always been there. I think now we're just going to see the explosion of it. So it's a great time.
Shout out to Jelly Roll. Well, thank you all for being with us for this episode of Street Soldiers. Yeah. Rob Markman, Asia Grace, Cowboy Calvin, thank you guys so much for being with us and talking about this amazing topic. I love new things. It's so exciting. Thank you for joining us and for bringing it to our audience. And thank you for joining us for this episode of Street Soldiers. I'm Lisa Evers. Remember, use your mind. It's your best weapon. Let's push for peace, love, and justice for all.